Anyways, on this particular subject matter, we've been talking about in Him we have, and we've covered a number of things. You know, when you have something, I think, you know, if you, you know, like Peter and John, you know, when the gate at the man at the gate looked at Peter, he said he perceived something, and he said, "Such as I have, give I thee." Well, you know, if you have something, that means you what? You possess it, and not only do you possess it, but you have an ability to use it. Now, whether you use it or not is another thing, but if you have a car, you have money, you have a house, that's your possession. Well, in Him, we have redemption. So that's like, you know, a lot of people are going, "Well, God, do this, do that." He's standing back going, "I gave it to you. Do something with it." So we have redemption. What does that mean? I have healing. I have forgiveness. I have peace, I have joy, I have it. That means I've got to stir it up. I've got to act upon what I believe I have. So one of the things I wanted to cover today, I've been covering it for a few lessons in New York, is I wanted to talk on this particular subject of the love of God. And so often, you know, I'm going to just bring out some scriptures here, and that's why I wanted to hand out this sheet, because I think this will help us to have something that your eyes can see and keep that. You know, again, it's not digital. If you want something digital, we'll email it to you if you're that interested. But I wanted it to just mean something to me, because when I see what's going on in the world, and when you look at the Word of God, the answer is in the Word. The answer is in the Word of God. We've been given a command to walk in the love of God. And so I wanted to start today and look at Romans chapter 5. And in the King James, actually I want to read it in the New Living, because in verse 5 in the King James, it talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I like this, either the King James or the New Living, but I like what this shares here in the New Living in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1 to 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been made right with God," or right in God's sight, "by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." I just stop right there. It says, we have peace. So just think about this. The scripture in 2 Timothy says, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So fear, if we've not been given a spirit of fear, then that means what we feel from the outside, what hits us, fear, is not from God. It's on the outside. Fear has been, we've been delivered from the spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And this says here, we have peace. So when you don't feel peace, that ought to tell you something. It's not from God. You have peace. It's like a lot of people get stuck with, You know, when God says you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, he's taken your infirmities and sicknesses. You have been healed. Yeah, but my body's saying something else. So then you need to decide who's true. What's true? So if I have peace, then that means I have it. I have possession of it, and I can operate in it. So this goes on. I have peace with God because of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 2, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because why? He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. You know, so often, you know, when you talk about, you know, they were just talking about, you know, a marriage seminar coming. So often in a marriage, when you love someone, you can trust them. And that's why when a trust is broken, then it affects the love between individuals and may take time to build trust back so that you can have what? Faith in another person because you begin to do what? Question someone's love. But when we don't question God's love because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. So because of that, I can trust God. Even though I'm going through stuff, even though that may not look good, I mean, look at who went through some stuff. Paul went through some stuff, right? But he knew God loved him and he could trust him to bring him out, to bring him through. So this is why when this says here that our hope and this hope will not lead to disappointment or discouragement. Because why? We know God loves us and he loves me and he wants the best for me. This is another translation. I like this. Kind of puts it in something we can understand. This is a translation called the Jordan translation. It says, for God has given us a love transfusion. I like that. By the Holy Spirit, he provided us. God has infused into us his very nature, which is love. And then going down to talking about the love of God in 1 John 4:7 in the King James says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So what does that mean? That means because of the blood of Jesus, because of the redemption I've received, that means that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Now I can love with the God kind of love. This isn't about feeling. You may not feel like loving another person, but out of what? Your heart, you can love with the God kind of love. And it says, everyone that loveth, that Greek word, that's an action word. So when it says here, for the love of God, for love is of God, that's a noun. That's agape. That's not an action. But everyone that loveth, that's an action. That's agapeo. That's an action. That's a verb. That means that you're doing something. And so it says, everyone that loveth is what? Born of God. So that means you cannot love with the God kind of love unless you have his nature. You can't. It's not possible. You can't love with it. You could love with human love, but guess what? There's always conditions. I'm going to love you just because everybody's got buttons. You push somebody hard enough, and there's a button you're going to push. Everybody. You could be the sweetest person, but there's a button. And I'm telling you that button can become such that when you have the love of God in you and it gets developed in you, it's that button gets harder and harder to push because his nature will come out. And that's what we want to focus on a little bit today. Then the living Bible, it says of this, of 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are children of God and that they are getting to know him better. So when we don't love, that just shows that we're not getting to know him better. We're just flesh, carnal. And that's what's happening in this world. The more time you spend ingesting or feeding on the world's information and ways, then that's why I say it's a very slippery thing when you keep feeding on things. You know, whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, whatever you read gets inside of you. It can affect how you think, how you act, how you talk, how you express yourself. And so the more we feed upon the Word of God, the more we feed upon it, when we let Him come in, how do we let Him come in? Through His Word. Because the Word of God is God. And so in 1 John 3:14 in the King James, it says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So when we start loving people with his kind of love, it proves to the world, that's what John 13:34-35 says. When we love one another, it shows the world that we're his disciples. So this here is saying almost the same thing. It says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And then John 15 and verses 4 and 5 in the New Living Translation. He is the vine, and we're the branch. But you've got to stay connected to the vine in order to receive what? His life, the life of God. And that's what he says here. That's what Jesus is saying. This is the New Living Translation. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You could say love fruit. Fruit, the byproduct of his nature is love. So you can't produce that unless you stay connected to the vine. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And then verse 10, 11, and 12, it says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Isn't that good? So when you obey him, you remain in the love of God. Didn't say you felt like it, but when you obey it, you remain in love, in him. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. That means there's no conditions, no prerequisites, you know, just like insurance companies. You know, they'll say, well, we'll cover you if, right? God didn't say that when he sent Jesus. When we were yet sinners and enemies of God, he died for us. So, again, he said to us in John 13:34, and what? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, that's agape, as I have loved you, agapeo, that you also love one another. By this shall all men, what? Know that you are my disciples. When you have what? If you have love one to another. Now, I'm going to read, you have that sheet of paper. I want to read, and you can follow along. I want to read the Amplified Classic. And then, well, I didn't put it on the paper. You have the Hayward and the RIV. But you can follow along in the Amplified Classic if you have it. This is verses 4 through 8. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Now let me just stop a minute. The reason I like to take time to read these is because the entrance of his word bringeth light. It bringeth revelation. And when we let the love of God, when we let the word of God into our heart, it shines a light in our hearts. And what does that mean? It exposes. And so every time I read these, you begin to read and say, you let his light, the light of his word, expose things in your heart that he knows you need to change. And that's why when he talks about the vine, he does what? He prunes so that you can bring forth more fruit. So when he exposes something in our heart, it's to help us. It's to correct something. It's to make a change so that we can then do what? Walk more in his nature, walk more like him. Every time I read this, I do it every day. I mean, if I'm up at 5 in the morning, whatever, it's the first thing I do, bang, I'm reading it. Because I want to let the light of the word expose my heart so that it can do what? Change. And so why? So that we can then walk more in the love of God. And that when you do, then you start reading this and you go, ooh, yeah, I need to change that. And I like reading different translations because It may say it in a way that you go, oh, that's me. That's me. I'm doing that. So what does that mean? I need to read this more, because the power to change your heart is in the Word. I can't change myself, but the Word can. And the more you read it, the more you let it in, the more you meditate on it, it begins to change you from the inside. It begins to change your heart. It begins to renew you. I know when I made this commitment about 4 years ago to do this, the more I read it, you know, and we all, every day, we get into, we interact with people. We interact, don't we? And there are buttons that get pushed. Because we all have, you know, just that's the way it is. Somebody says something and you don't like what they said or how they said it. I'm telling you, the things that pushed buttons in me are less. And I'm noticing it. Things that would just set me off. I know there's something, you don't get off, right? You're cool all the time, I'm sure, right? You're cool. Yeah. I can see people when they get behind a wheel, that's when we get uncool. We get behind somebody or somebody cuts you off and you're like, bah, 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 and you're talking. But just in life, I'm saying for me, doing this every single day has changed some things that used to push a button. It's less and less and less. And you sit back and you go, wow, that didn't bother me. It reminds me of when I first got born again because of associations, you know, going through college, I had jobs and I worked in construction as an electrician. And being around construction people, they just had a real interesting, colorful language. It seems to be the norm now in life. People got a four-letter vocabulary. But I just cursed like a sailor. But the day I got born again, I started working on my sports car and I whacked my hand and nothing came out. I was changed. Death was changed to life. And I'm seeing similar things happen where His Word is spirit and life. And the more you let His Word in, it transforms you because it's life. It's power. Is it overnight? No. But the more you make a decision to let it work in you, when you get into some things, you go, that didn't set me off. And you have a choice. You know, don't tell, you know, I was in some situations where you could just, your flesh was going, I'm gonna say something. I'm going to say something. But inside, it's like the power of God rises up and it takes control and it overrides. I'm not possessed, but the Holy Ghost, the love of God begins to operate in a way that you hadn't experienced it before. Why? Because you're letting the Word in on a consistent basis. And you're letting it in. You're letting it in day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day. And it changes you. So I stopped to share that. So the Amplified, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. You know, another thing, when you operate in the love of God, doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. That's not love. We can disagree but be lovely towards one another. We can honor one another. That means we esteem one another and we value one another. But we may not disagree, but we may agree. But it doesn't mean we have to agree on everything, but we don't have to be disagreeable. Right? Now, you have this. This is the Hayford. This is Jack Hayford's translation, who he went home to be with the Lord last year. And I like this. Says it a different way. Starting in verse 4. Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Lord Jesus. Right there. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile. And I like this. But is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Boy, that right there can be a big thing for somebody. They were hurt, something happened, and I resent that. But love erases the resentment. And that can be difficult for some folks. But as the love of God begins to work in you, you can let go of a resentment and erase it. What does that mean? You don't even remember it. It may come up to, yeah. I remember when I loaned some, I think I've shared this. We had somebody on staff here years ago, many years ago, and this person was in a fix financially. I said, sure, I'll lend you the money. And I gave him a good amount. And then he needed to do what he needed to do, but then he kept saying, oh, could you give me a little more, a little more, a little more? And it got to be grande, a whole lot. And then he took off. And before he said, oh, do we need to write something down? Or, you know, I said, no, I trust you. And he took off. And boy, was I upset. Ooh. I was hurt. You know, if you get hurt and it's somebody close, it can really sting. And you felt betrayed. And boy, I said, if I catch that joker, I'm gonna do him. I'm ticked. Because it was a lot of money. And he showed no effort. He said he could, if he had said to me, hey, I'll give you $5, $10, something, just an effort, nothing. And man, I was ticked off. Really. I was burning mad. And I knew it wasn't right. And then the Holy Ghost began to speak to me and said, let it go. You know what my response was? No, I don't want to. I'm upset. I'm hurt. I'm mad. And you know that, thank God, he ain't moved by that. He kept nudging me. Let it go. Let it go. Because it's going to hurt me more than him. He took the money and took off. The bitterness will hurt me more. And so finally, after being nudged a number of times, I said, all right, I'll let it go. And through grit teeth, I didn't want to. But I said, okay, I'll yield and I'll obey. I began to say, I forgive him. I had grit teeth and not happy. I did it. I made an effort. That's what I'm talking about. Just do it. Not because you felt like doing it, but you just obeyed. That's what I'm talking about, obeying the word. Let it in and obey. And it will begin to change you. And so what happened was, I began to do it every day. I said, Lord, I forgive him. Through grit teeth, I forgive him, Jesus. Bah, 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 you know, and I'm mumbling while I'm doing it, right? But every day it got easier. Every day it got easier. Every day it got lighter. It got easier and easier. And over a period of months, I said, I let it go. Let it go. And my heart was free of it. And I'm so glad, because maybe about, I don't know, a year or so later, he showed back up at the church. And I'm so glad, because I don't know what I would have done. And my heart was free. It really was. I saw him and I said, praise God, good to see you. Never said a thing. And I let it go. I let it go. And I've been blessed over and over and over and over and over again because of that. Let it go. Now, am I telling you to let it go? No, I'm telling you to not hold on to a resentment. Let it go. It'll hurt you more. Let it go. So that's just something for me. Erase the resentment. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things. defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. You know, if we want to know what God's nature is like, you read this. He don't advertise your mess. He always defends you. He's always looking out for you and promoting the good. But in order to operate that way, you've got to let it get in on the inside of you, his word. Now, this is the Renner interpretive version. Another way he love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless. Nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp that they cause an ugly or violent response. That's what I'm talking about right there. You can say something in such a way that it'll cause a response, and not a good response. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. I'll tell you, take that and feed upon it. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I just put this in Matthew 12 in the New Living Translation, verse 34. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus speaking, he said, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." So that's why it's important to get the love of God down into your heart, because what you let in, whatever gets into your heart, determines what you say. This is the Passion Translation. It says, "For what has been stored up in your hearts will be heard in the overflow of your words." In the 20th century New Testament, it said, "What fills a man's heart rises to his lips." What fills a man's heart rises to his lips. So when you get the Word of God into your heart, you know, Pastor Sarah used to say another way. She said, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. When there's pressure put on, what's in your heart is going to rise to your lips. And so we need to get the Word of God down into us, because these are what? Troublesome times. And it's a time when men and women's hearts are cold to the love of God. And when we operate in the love, I'm telling you, when we operate in the love of God, it's going to be like honey to bees. People are not used to the love, the genuine love of God. It's going to draw people. It will draw people, because it's not happening. And the only way it can happen in us is to have that transformation happen. And it takes an effort. First Corinthians 14, I think I have that in the notes there. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. I like the new Living Translation. It says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And the Message translation of this, 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. So what should be the main, what's the commandment? To operate in the love of God. So operating in the love of God, we ought to pursue it like our life depended on it. This is what Rick Renner said in Sparkling Gems. He said, this is the love that Paul urged us to follow after when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. He said the word follow is the Greek word dioko. He said, which means to hotly pursue. He said it was a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally gets his game. That means when it said follow after charity, that doesn't mean, it means hotly pursue it with intent. He said this means that attaining this high level love doesn't come easy. If we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and aim of our lives. If we're going to reflect the love of God, then I've got to make a change. I've got to pursue it, because the love of God is the power of God. It's the compassion of God. When we need the compassion of God to deal with people, I need His love flowing and operating in me, and I've got to pursue it like my life depended on it. And that's why all the interactions we have with the world, they're operating based on their father, the devil. And for us to interact, you know, if you're not operating in the love of God, you're just going to end up being, you know, fleshy. You just will. And all of us, like I said, got flesh buttons that get pushed. And how does that transformation take place? Make a decision, I'm pursuing that. And I'm going to read this every day, every day. Yeah, other days where I've missed it, yes, in reading it. But I get right on it. Said, oh, I missed it today. I'm going to read it. But it's rare that I miss it. I made a decision. I've made a choice. I'm pursuing that. And when you do, it's not about whether you missed a day or not. It's a decision that you made that I'm going to let the love of God work in me so that I'm a reflection of Him in everything I do, right? Because you're letting the love of God, you're letting the Word of God get into your heart so that when there's pressure, what comes out of your heart is what you put in it. Right? 1 Thessalonians. So the love of God, it needs to be what? It needs to be developed. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 said, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in what? Love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you." Now look what the New Living, it says, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows." Now He will make it grow, but you've got to let the Word in. He will cause the transformation. And then Ephesians 5:1 in the New Living, it says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do." Why? Because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now, this is the piece. I want to just close on this. We could spend weeks on this. I'm just giving you some highlights to take hold of. But look at Colossians 3:14. Letting love clothe you and guide you. The New Living, it says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which does what? Binds us all together in perfect harmony." Look at the Johnson. This is a paraphrase. "As the most important piece of new clothing, be sure to wear love, because love is the evidence of maturity." Or you could say the lack of it is evidence of immaturity. So if we want to mature as a child of God, we've got to operate in the love of God. Look at this is the one here that really stopped me, is the Living Bible of Colossians 3:14. And this really solidified it for me. It said here, "Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony." So, are we operating in the love of God when I've got to just post my feelings on Facebook? Is it divisive, or can it be divisive? Yes. And so if you go back and you start to reflect on the things that you do put it up to the mirror of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. So when you say, well, I'm going to do this or say this, if it fits in there, and maybe, just maybe, you may want to make a correction. Because what's at stake here? It's never about you. It's about the church being in harmony. Because when the church is in harmony, then God can operate more effectively through the church, and we as the church can take back those things that the devil has held sway over. People's minds, territories, people. That's why when I see this, I said, that's why when you look in society and you see how the devil has caused division amongst people, families, marriages, societies, ethnic groups, it's all not in love. And in order for the church to operate in the love of God, there has to be the love of God being released and operated. Has to be. Now, does it mean that these things are going on in society? Yes, they are. But we don't have to embrace them. We can think different. We can talk different. If we let the love of God in us, because what you fill your heart up is what's going to come out of your lips, out of your mouth. That's why anytime you see any kind of bickering and schism and division, it's not of God. Because here, what does this say? Let love guide your life. For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. And the New Life, it says, love holds everything and everybody together. Love holds everything and everybody together. That's why I tell you from the very beginning, I remember Pastor Clinton and Sarah saying this, and they said it from the pulpit over, not all the time, but they would remind people, we'll love people coming in. Doesn't matter what kind of state you're in, you could be whatever, you know, messed up. But you want a quick ticket out of this ministry? You want a quick ticket to lose your membership and being asked to leave? Cause strife. You'll be asked to leave. Because strife will cause division. Strife is not walking in love. And love keeps the whole church together in harmony. And when there's any kind of strife that raises its head, I don't care in what, in your family, in your kids, in your job, you ought to be on it like, no, 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 not here. Not here. We come against it in the name of Jesus. And we will treat one another in the love of God. Because that's the way to diffuse it. That's the way to diffuse it. Everybody get where we're coming from here? That love ought to be pursued hotly. We ought to pursue it like our life depended on it. Because it does. Because remember, faith works by love. So when your love is not working, neither is your faith. Because he even said, husbands, love your wives And it said, love that your prayers not be hindered. So even in those things, that if you're not operating in the love of God, it will affect your prayer life. It'll affect your faith life. So we need to pursue it like our life depended on. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, the more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, the more you meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, there's so much stuff that's going on in this society. You know, what's interesting to me is when you step back and you look at this, even all of the stuff that you hear in society, people hate people who are in office. And there's no honor given. It doesn't mean you have to like them, but you better honor them. You may not agree with them, but you better honor them. Because when you don't honor, there's no love. So there's no honor in society. There's no honor in marriages. You don't even see the honor there anymore. Where a husband honors the wife honors the husband. They don't even honor police. They don't honor anymore. There's no honor. And there's no honor for people who are in offices that they're supposed to help us. We're supposed to pray for those who are in authority. Well, if you can't pray if the love of God is not in you to pray, you're going to run your mouth. And so that's where we need to let the love of God get down in our hearts. Let me read this. I know I've finished, but let me share this. I think I have it in. Let me just share this because it's talking about the love of God. It's Ephesians. Love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. And of course, I'm just going to focus on that. The New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Listen to this. This is another translation called the Laubach, Laubach. It says, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of his love. The roots of your faith growing down deep into the ground of his love. That's why it's important that we pursue love like our life depended on it, because it does. The Living Bible, it says of Ephesians 3:17, it says, may your roots go down into the soil of God's marvelous love. May your roots, what? Your faith roots. I can trust God. He's faithful. I love him. He loves me. My faith can grow down into the ground or the soil of God's love. Listen to this. This is the God's Word translation. It says, I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. What's the foundation? Love. And your faith roots sink down into the love of God, into that ground. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's powerful. And we pursue it. We decide to pursue the love of God and let it work in our hearts to transform us and change us. And we thank you, Father, that your power, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Father, we thank you for the love of God working in each one of us, changing us, transforming us into your very image and nature. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I trust that helps a little bit. And I would suggest, think about it, meditate on it, and make a decision that you're going to read 1 Corinthians 13 in whatever translation. Let it in. Let that in change your heart. You'll be surprised. You'll look back and you'll go through a rough patch and go, boy, that didn't bother me like it used to. I'm telling you, it will change you. You won't know yourself. It'll change you. People will begin to say, something different. You didn't get upset. Takes time, but it's worth it, isn't it? We want to be a reflection of Him. Glory to God.